Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington, catching up with Gordy Hebb, and it's great to have a chance to talk with you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I had no idea when we talked last about your music for Star Wars Squadron that we'd be catching up so soon because of the releases of your soundtracks for Battlefront and Star Wars Battlefront 2. And congratulations on the releases. I know it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. It has been, and it's very exciting because those particular scores are very much a labor of love for me. So seeing them get released so people can check them out is really exciting for me.
Yeah, I'll bet. I remember the first time we talked about Star Wars Battlefront, and I was really longing to hear a soundtrack at that point. So it's been a while, but what were sort of the things that had to happen to get these soundtracks released?
It was never meant to be initially, but honestly, because we released a soundtrack for Jedi Fallen Order, that was by design. That sort of opened the floodgates because then Walt Disney Records saw that had some success, on a streaming release, and thought, what do we have that we could release sort of retroactively? And, I had been pushing for quite a while to have the Battlefront soundtracks have their own release. And so they were very open to it at this point and decided to put that out, as well as Squadrons. And, they released even this Jedi Temple Challenge, which is a score I wrote for a YouTube series that Lucasfilm had done. It was sort of a kid's Star Wars game show. So they really just sort of, they liked the success of Fallen Order and decided to just release everything I had done thus far for Star Wars gaming universe.
Wow.
So very exciting.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I would love to know what it was like for you to kind of go back and listen to all of this music that had been, written so many years ago and then kind of revisit it.
Yeah, I mean, it was really exciting because, like I said, those scores were very much a labor of love for me. I felt like when I was brought on to work on Battlefront 1, it was like I was almost being handed the keys to the kingdom. It's like, here, and treat it very, delicately. So, for me, I really saw that opportunity when I was brought on to Battlefront 1 to kind of create my own, sort of Star Wars story through music. And I took that opportunity very seriously. So with the hopes that there would be a day that this would have a soundtrack album. And sure enough, so actually, I had prepared the soundtrack albums for both games years ago. So they have been sitting, on a hard drive, and occasionally I would listen to them just to kind of remind myself. So they were ready to go the second they said that they were interested in doing this. But yeah, getting to revisit them, it's like, oh wow, it takes you back because I can remember where I was sitting, what I was thinking when I hear every single note when I was writing those cues. So it was a really cool thing to get to revisit.
Yeah, I'll bet. And that's an experience that people have who play the game too, because then as soon as they hear that music, they're instantly transported. It's like, oh yeah, here's where I had that great battle when I was flying the TIE fighter, or the battle with, the battle against the Empire or whatever. So it's really cool that the music kind of struck those chords with you too.
So. Exactly. And it's very personal, for me too. So, my memories, of course are of the moment I was writing for as well in the game, But they go even deeper. It's like I can remember, when I hear that cue, I remember that I also needed to make a phone call to have my car fixed or something like that. They all relate to personal things that were happening in my life, as well, because, when you're writing music, life still goes on. So, and I always associate the music that I was writing in any given moment with what was happening in my life in that moment, too. So, it's almost like getting to relive, 5 years of my life by listening through this music again.
Thank you.
you know, it's so interesting hearing the process that composers go through putting a soundtrack together, because you don't want just stem after stem after stem. And what I really appreciate about these two soundtracks is the little suites that you've created from the various areas or the battles. And so how did you go about, you know, creating these really involved tracks for each of, you know, for the soundtracks?
Yeah, you know, that's a really great question. And I don't think I've ever had really an opportunity to speak to this before, but for Battlefront 1, each track is a suite associated with either an environment or a faction, you know, whether it's, you know, Rebel or Imperial or Tatooine or Hoth or whatever have you. And it was completely by design that they are completely through composed suites of music for those planets or environments. And in fact, they function in a couple ways. So in the game, the goal was to, for Battlefront 1, was to write the B-side to the original film soundtracks. And so I kind of took it upon myself to do just that. And it's an extension of what the music was in the films and sort of carrying it forward. So, you know, with a one particular track that was the music for Hoth, I mean, I wrote an 8-minute long suite of music for Hoth that could transition out of the music from Hoth in Empire Strikes Back and then back into it at the end. So it would actually end up being like a 12-minute long suite. But also being able to take just my music out, and it works in context, that was sort of a goal as well. So to write these longer form pieces of music that are also modular. So yes, it's a 8-minute suite of music, but there's also, you know, 6 individual pieces of music that can be separated out and moved around modularly. And, you know, then there's all these transitional elements that help them work in the game, you know, from a technical standpoint. So there was always sort of the concept was to work that way, to write these longer form pieces of music and then pull from those to create the more technical side of the, you know, interactive music in the game.
What I really like about listening to each track with the soundtracks is there's an arc. There's almost like a story arc to each of the suites too. And, you know, sometimes you're thrown into the action right away, but other times that the momentum builds really slowly until you get to this really pivotal moment and then it trails back off again. And so putting that together must have been a really, really fun challenge.
It really was. You know, what's interesting is the way it is on the soundtrack is the way it was conceived. So the way it ended up in the game is not like it is on the soundtrack because it is more modular. But it was actually one of the cooler challenges I've had in my composing career was Ben Mento, the audio director at DICE, the developing company that made Battlefront 1 and 2. His direction to me was not so much to write, I need a 1-minute action cue that can loop that's themed for Hoth, and then I need a 15-second intro for this. He just said, write some music for Hoth. And so my concept was, okay, I'm going to write an 8 to 12-minute piece of music, like a little miniature symphony for Hoth. I needed to make sure that it went through multiple, you know, sort of styles so that we could pull from it to create all the elements within the game. So, you know, there's a section where it's all action and bombastic, and then it might go into something that's more, you know, sort of ethereal or, you know, atmosphere, mood kind of driven music, and then into something that's more of a march, and then so on. And so I really thought of each of these suites as one long piece of music that went through multiple styles that we could then extract from later. And that was sort of the concept of how we created that entire score. Battlefront 2 was a little different because we had a story. So I actually had to score it more like a film, you know, where it was, you know, character themes and following story arcs, you know, more in a finite timeline. But Battlefront 1 was a very interesting project because I essentially wrote about 20 long suites of music that we then pulled from to create the score for the game.
Wow. Did you end up incorporating any of the music from the cutscenes as well into those suites?
Yes, definitely. In fact, the cutscenes are always where the, you know, that's where the meat of a score is in a lot of, sure, in a lot of cases in a game, because they, you know, they tend to require the music to sort of drive the narrative of the cutscene. So, yes, I always try to make sure that the cutscenes make it in because those are usually my favorite musical moments, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet because the way that they work with the action on the screen, it is a film, basically. And so with the emotion and the action and timing it with the dialogue, too, must be kind of interesting.
It's very much like scoring a film versus scoring a game. You're not as worried as much about interactivity, but you are trying to actually hit beats in the scene and that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Was it tough? Did you have to make some tough decisions whittling down the hours and hours and hours of music that you wrote for each soundtrack into a 90-minute album for each?
Yeah. I mean, it was very tricky because, there's probably twice as much music, if not more, that didn't make it onto the soundtrack. But, a lot of the music that didn't make it on the soundtrack was more, sort of musical interactive elements, like a little fanfare to introduce this ship coming onto the screen, or a transition from this piece of music to the next piece of music. And so there's a lot of these smaller transitional elements, or just very basic mood type cues that are just supposed to be atmosphere or something like that. So I wanted to, I had to boil it down to what I thought was the most important aspect, sort of the meat of the score, which was these original suites that I had written that the entire score was sort of based off of. So once I wrote those suites, then we extracted all the elements, and then I had to figure out how to write all these transitions and intros and outros and fanfares and all this type of thing to make all of those modular pieces work. But the first thing I wrote was these suites, and so I wanted to focus on those, and that's sort of the foundation of the soundtracks.
Well, this is kind of a mean question, but I'm wondering with either one of the soundtracks, if there are suites that really stand out to you that you really want to make sure people listen to and kind of dive into, or is it like picking a favorite kid?
Yeah, so Sora Sub Skirmish off of the Battlefront 1 soundtrack, that is a suite of music I wrote for the planet Sullust. There had been nothing referenced really other than, maybe in a couple dialogue moments. Sullust had not been referenced in any of the films. So this was sort of the first time we got to see Sullust, and really, it gave me this opportunity to write something completely original for a planet that had yet been discovered. And so I took that, as a really great task, to create something completely new. And I really love that suite of music. That's one of my favorites. also the Tatooine suite that I wrote for Battlefront 1 has a place in my heart because that suite of music was my audition to get the job in the first place. So before I was hired, they said, write 10 minutes of music. We want to hear what you got, you know? And I was like, well, can you give me a subject matter? They said, write a suite of music for Tatooine. And so I did. I took 2 weeks and I wrote this, you know, this 10 or 15 minute suite of music for Tatooine, sent it in. Everyone loved it. I got hired to do the job. So that was very special to me because it sort of started the whole thing. And it also actually started the concept of writing these planet suites. Because once they had that demo from me, they said, actually, this works really well if we take this moment and create these musical elements in the game. So it sort of defined the concept of how I wrote the score.
Wow, that is so cool. I can't imagine what must have been going through your head when you were thinking about, well, okay, I've got to really wow them and I've got to make this sound like, you know, the traditional music that everybody expects, but I've got to make it sound like myself too. So like, what was the process
It was painful. That was a torturous couple of weeks because of course I was extremely anxious and nervous about how it would be received. And of course as it typically goes, I was working on another project at the same time. So I had to do this sort of, you know, moonlight to get this demo done, you know. So it was a lot of late nights that turned into early mornings to get that one done. And on top of it, it wasn't something that I could record and say, here's a finished product. I had to demonstrate it, you know, with synths and samples and try to make it very convincing demonstration of an orchestra playing. So, you know, I put a lot of focus into that, working with Sam Smythe, who works for me, has for years. And he actually, you know, did all of the sort of the production of the demo for me, you know, while I was writing, you know, feverishly by pencil and paper, as I tend to do. So it was a whirlwind, but we got it done. And it worked out.
Yeah, it sounds great. And I would love to know, I think we talked about this one of our earlier conversations, but who were some of the classical composers that you kind of looked at to get kind of a sound that would be a good fit?
Yeah, so for this score in particular, I mean, I actually just went to what I would consider, you know, square one for the Star Wars sound, if you will, which was sort of late Romanticism. So, you know, I was listening to Wagner operas, you know, because of the leitmotif elements, and, you know, listening to like Shostakovich symphonies and, you know, and even like branching into more like, you know, like sort of French school, impressionist school, like, you know, Debussy and Ravel. And some of my personal favorites are, you know, of like David Diamond you know, of the sort of like neo-romantic movement. I mean, these are composers, you know, Samuel Barber. I mean, it's a very obvious one of that movement, are very influential on my music. I think they were influential on the original scores from Star Wars as well. So I went back to those particular pieces of music that I really loved from those composers and kind of used that as sort of the root, sort of the foundation of the score. You know.
It must have been sort of like playing musical detective.
In a way it was. You know, it's like, what influenced that? Let me go to the source, you know. So I went to the source in most cases and really utilized that as sort of my method for creating this music.
That is really cool. And I remember we talked before about how thrilling it was to have the London Symphony Orchestra and the chorus, the London Voices, record this music. And I know now you've got a kind of a relationship with the orchestra. What makes them sound so incredibly special?
You know, with that orchestra in particular, or really any established orchestra versus, you know, say maybe a studio orchestra that's contracted and pieced together, one thing that you get that you can't get from really any other way of recording is the fact that they have played together constantly, you know, throughout an entire season of live concerts, and they rehearse. And so you even see it when you're recording, you notice like nobody's discussing how to bow a particular passage on their instruments. It's just they automatically know exactly how to bow certain phrases, or the brass section, they always breathe in the exact same spot. And it's not something that they sort of worked out in advance. They just have worked it out through multiple years of rehearsing together and knowing how each other play and how to blend and balance. So it's really fascinating because like it almost first take is almost perfection because they're so used to playing together. The only sort of hurdle that's in their way is the fact that they're sight reading this music, but they're also such great readers that it's barely even noticeable that they're sight reading this music. And combine that level of, you know, sort of cohesiveness as an ensemble with the sound of the room of Abbey Road, which is by far one of the most brilliant sounding rooms. I mean, it's just anything you do in there just sounds amazing. You can go in there, snap your fingers. You're like, wow, you know, even snapping your fingers sounds great in here, you know, so it's pretty impressive. And, you know, you combine those elements and the London voices. I mean, wow, those it's like an orchestra of singers, you know, a lot of times with choirs, there's an extra step of sort of having to learn a few things by rote, but they can sight read music as though they were, you know, had an instrument in their hands. Very impressive, you know, so they're really wonderful choir. Combine those elements and you basically, it's a recipe for success no matter what I do.
Well, it must be like getting the keys to a McLaren or a Ferrari.
It's very much like that. Yeah, exactly.
Did you know right off the bat that you were going to be using that orchestra and that chorus?
I did not, but it was my hope. And even from the very beginning, you know, when I was working on that demo before I got the job, I was like, well, and what happens if I get this and we just work together? What's the plan for producing this? And like, oh, we haven't really talked about it yet, but we'd love to do it in the same way that the films were done. And I said, well, if we're going to do that, then we need to go to Abbey Road and we need to use the London Symphony because they played on all these scores. And, you know, so it was like, it was a very easy sell other than the, you know, the probably most obvious thing, which is, you know, recording at Abbey Road with the London Symphony isn't inexpensive by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, it's Star Wars. So, you know,
yeah, so no expenses spared and
you got to do it right. So we did. And I think it definitely shows.
Would you like to tell the story of the Mahler hammer again?
Oh, of course. I love this story. So throughout the course of writing and recording the music for Battlefront, we had multiple recording sessions. So it wasn't like Battlefront 1 just had one long recording session. We actually did, I think it was about 7 recording sessions for Battlefront 1 and then another, you know, 8 or something like that for Battlefront 2, separated out by, you know, usually 3 months, like one session a quarter kind of thing. And it became sort of a goal of mine to introduce a new instrument into the Star Wars, you know, gaming music canon, if you will, at each recording session. So, you know, and on one of them, we brought in, you know, this giant ensemble of like, you know, big, you know, Japanese taiko drums and, you know, one that was taller than I was. And, you know, that was sort of like a, you know, a thing we tried on one session. And then another session, I thought, what could I do that would just really amp up the impact of the percussion section? And it was bringing in a Mahler hammer, which, if you guys don't know what that is, it's essentially a giant box, a wooden box with a round membrane on the top that can move up and down like it's you know, attached by rubber. But essentially, it's to compress the air inside of the box. And there's a small hole in the back of the box to sort of release the air. And you hit it with a giant hammer. It looks like the hammer of Thor. You know, it's like this 20-pound, you know, huge hammer. And you hit that thing, and it sounds like a cannon going off in the room. And you don't even have to hit it hard. That's the best part. So, you know, when I saw it there, when we first went to the session, and I thought, okay, I want to see this thing up close. So I went out and I met the percussionist, and I said, can you show it to me? How does it work? And they said, well, here, you can try it. Here's the hammer. And they're like, don't hit it very hard. Of course, so then I'm like so gently hitting it. And I just barely tapped it. And the whole row of French horns that were just there just warming up their instruments, you know, just jumped out of their seat. I mean, it's like a cannon going off in the room. It's pretty impressive, that thing. a lot.
Yeah. How did you get that sound to sort of like play nicely with the rest of the orchestra then?
Yeah, you know, the first couple of takes we did, we had it with the orchestra, and the orchestra made a very kind, you know, in the most British possible polite way, request that we record the Mahler hammer as a separate element because they were losing their hearing. It's so loud in the room. So that's how we ultimately ended up doing it, was we recorded everything in the orchestra first, then I just went back in and on a break just had the percussionists by themselves doing the Mahler hammer, and then we just layered it in because otherwise it was just, you know, it was bursting everyone's eardrums in the room. Percussionists had earplugs in.
and they probably love that, to have the whole studio themselves.
Of course. Yeah, because, you know, they're rock drummers at heart. They all are. So.
Well, one of the cool things, he kind of touched on this with Battlefront 2, was the story. And one of the characters, like the character, Eden Versio, is brand new to the Star Wars universe. And you got to write her theme, which must have been just amazing.
It was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, that was really great. I mean, you know, in Battlefront 1 had tons. I mean, everything on the soundtrack are all original themes. But that said, I had not written necessarily a character theme with a major story arc. I had not had the chance to theme a character like that. And she was a very interesting character. So she starts out as an Imperial character and has this story arc that over the course of the single player campaign becomes a rebel character. And so the goal was to write a theme that was very much Imperial, very strong, driven kind of theme, you know, to match a strong, driven character. But the theme itself had to have the in its DNA the ability to slowly over time morph and become a more uplifting rebel theme. And so that was a very interesting challenge. It's like, how do you write, you know, the equivalent to like an Imperial March and have it turn into the Star Wars fanfare by the end of the scene, you know? So that was a cool challenge. I really liked, you know, and of course I loved working with her arc because she had this great emotional arc. You know, there's a very subtle love interest with, mm-hmm. with Del. And, you know, so there was a love theme that was written for the two of them that also sort of incorporated some elements of Eden's theme into that as well. And they kind of blended, you know, and so that was a lot of fun to do, something you don't typically get to do in a video game. So, so that's also on the soundtrack. It's one of my favorite pieces of music I wrote for that game, actually. So
it's kind of neat to get to hear that really romantic side of both of them.
And I think in the game, it doesn't play the full length piece of music. So, you know, I really wanted to find a way to include the entire, you know, love theme that I'd written beginning to end on the soundtrack. Because I think in the game, by the time everything was edited and all the cinematics were cut down for the final release, you know, I think that maybe 30 seconds of that was used, you know.
Well, the soundtracks haven't been out for very long, but I'm wondering what the fan response has been so far. Have you gotten feedback from people?
Yeah, it's been tremendous so far. The fans are really loving it. I think the fans really appreciate that their input and their, you know, sort of untiring request to have this soundtrack released actually worked. So in a way, it's sort of it was a fan-driven release because fans had been asking for this to happen for years, and it hasn't fallen on deaf ears. And I even was able to take sort of all, like, collate all of that, you know, love and request for this thing to come out and present it to everyone that helped actually get it released, you know, and say, hey, look, there's actually like petitions where people want this soundtrack released. And it actually sort of helped my argument for like, I think we could do a retroactive release. I know it's a 5-year-old game, but there are still people out there that really want to hear this. And sure enough, we released it and the fans were very excited about it. And I've been receiving tons of great feedback and, you know, thank yous and, you know, just love in general for the music. So it's been pretty great.
I bet. Well, and now I would imagine for all the titles going forward, I would hope that there will be soundtracks too. But it's been so great to reconnect with this amazing music, this huge body of work. And it's really, really been fun to talk with you about it, Gordy. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.